Hello and welcome to the Adventures in Marketing podcast. I'm your host, Gwen Montoya. If this is your first listen, thank you for giving it a shot. If you are a returning listener, thank you for coming back. That means a lot. If you're enjoying the podcast, I would love a subscribe or leave a review. Those are super helpful to me. So, you know, I have to say for today's episode, this is actually a really challenging one, not because the subject is difficult, but because it's so broad. I've actually stopped and started recording this episode probably 10 times already. I have been working on what was supposed to be a comprehensive blog post about it for about 6 months. And I just keep getting caught in how massive and vast it is. So instead of trying to be super comprehensive, I'm just going to sort of do an overview that will show you what Pinterest does, the different terms and glossary of it, and gives you some ideas of how you could use it for your business if you wanted to. One of the things to keep in mind is that Pinterest gets lumped into social media, but it's not. It's really more related to Google than it is Facebook or Instagram, even though it's pretty. But that's not really, it's the function of it being pretty is a side effect of the search part. So think of it as a really pretty visual search engine. The first thing to know is that a pin is an image, which is obviously specially sized for Pinterest. You can make those in Canva, and a link. Hopefully it's a link that goes back to your site, because that's one of the really powerful things that Pinterest can do is bring traffic back to your site. So a pin is just an image and a link, and you want the image to be pretty and you want it to be on brand, and there's tons of ways to do that. Canva has templates already set up. If you're not a designer, if you are a designer or you work with a graphic designer, just ask them to make you some Pinterest templates for you. The next thing to know is Pinterest has boards, and if you use Pinterest as, you know, a private user or a personal user for your own use, you might have a board that says recipes to try, which is great for you because you know that that means that that board has recipes that you want to try. And you probably also noticed when you made that board that you could name it. So the way that we name pins and boards on Pinterest needs to be related to how people are searching for the kinds of things that you offer on Pinterest. When you are sort of researching, what do people call the things that I do on Pinterest? You want to be searching within Pinterest itself, using the Pinterest search bar and the Pinterest guided search options, not necessarily what somebody searches on Google. As a business account, you have a business account, you have boards, and you have pins. You also have a description for every pin that you make. And that description also has search engine opportunities, all of those things. So when you are naming your boards and you're naming your pins and you are writing your pin descriptions, it's really important to have those words and phrases that people are searching for mixed in. And you don't want to do it in a spammy way, because that's a real turnoff. But you do want to do it in a way that is interesting and engaging and clear. You might be wondering, well, what can I pin on Pinterest? Probably the most obvious thing, and if you're a blogger or an influencer who uses blogs, that kind of thing, blog posts go great on Pinterest, especially ones that have really great titles that are really clear as to what they are. Those are great for Pinterest. If you have lead generation, freebies, bonus content, the kinds of things that somebody might go to a landing page and give you their email to get, those do great on Pinterest. You can pin those. You can make their own special pins and use that as a lead generation tool. Podcasts can go on Pinterest. All of my podcasts get pinned on Pinterest. They also, it's something I'm working on, they all have their own boards for Pinterest. They all have their own boards on Pinterest that are filled with my content and the podcast itself, and also other supporting content for things that maybe I haven't written yet. If you have products, you can pin those on Pinterest, or you can make a blog post that is a collection of your products and pin that on Pinterest. You can pin videos that you've made. You can pin tutorials that you've made. Basically, all of this really cool content that you have, you want to be pinning that and putting that out on Pinterest. If you have paid courses or your services, I don't know that I would necessarily pin those on Pinterest. Pinterest is really more about discovery and about learning about something for the first time rather than necessarily making a higher end purchase. If you have some lower cost things, then I think it's worth trying those. Obviously, products do really great on Pinterest, but I'm not necessarily sure that it is automatically the higher end ones that do great. I think it's a really good entry platform and a way for somebody to get to learn about you, which is why it's great for lead generation, because then they get on your email list and you can have a conversation with them down the line. We've covered what pins are and what you can pin and boards and descriptions. The last thing I want to cover is sort of a Q&A. Because in my experience in showing people how to use Pinterest and talking about Pinterest, there are all of these little questions that need to be answered. And I don't want anybody to leave this podcast feeling like they still didn't get their questions answered. So I'm just going to kind of go down the list of the questions I hear most often. One of the first questions is, I don't make content. Can I still use Pinterest for my business? And my answer is, yes, but, which if you've worked with me, you know, I say a lot. So yes, you can use Pinterest for your business, but if you're not creating your own content, there's a really good chance that you're sending potential traffic that could go to your website that could maybe want to work with you, and you're sending it somewhere else. Now, depending on your overall goals and your marketing strategies, that might be okay. That might not be a problem. You know, you might have some other way of reaching people, and Pinterest is just sort of rounds out your portfolio of ways that you show up online. So yes, you don't have to be creating content to pin things on Pinterest, but you're also possibly missing an opportunity. So then of course the next question is, what can I pin on Pinterest? You can pin anything that you find on the internet, pretty much. Pinterest, when you go to Pinterest, has an option to add boards and to add pins. You can enter the link, you know, copy, paste it, and make a pin right there. There is a really great Chrome extension. It might be available for other browsers, I don't know, that basically lets you pin directly from wherever you are. That makes it really easy. You can't pin things that are on your computer. That doesn't work. It has to be something that's on the internet. But it's not something that you have to ask permission from somebody to pin something. So if you find a really great blog post or you find a really great recipe or something, you can pin that. Another question I hear is, can I have my business and my personal boards on the same account? And yes, you can. But I think depending on your business, I think it makes more sense to have a dedicated Pinterest account that is just for your business. The other option is to hide some boards. You can lock and make some boards secret. And then those could be your personal boards. And then your public-facing boards are more business-focused if you wanted to do that. Something else that happens with Pinterest is people get very literal in the boards and they forget that each board and each pin is basically an entry to somebody discovering you. So they might make one board and try to fill it with everything under that topic instead of breaking the boards out into subtopics that are more specific, more search friendly, and then also have a better chance of attracting people. I think that's something that a lot of people do because they feel like there's a limit to how many boards, or they feel like they have 20 boards and it's too many. That's really okay because every board, every pin that you make is an entry into the Pinterest lottery of being found. And so each time you make a pin, you have a chance to use different search terms. You have a chance to make a different graphic that might appeal to somebody that a different graphic doesn't appeal to them. So I think that's another thing to think about too is, you know, for every pin that you make, make two or three versions of it. It's something that Pinterest likes now. It's part of the February 2020 changes. But that also means that you can play with fonts and you can play with titles and you can play with descriptions and all of these different things so that you can see what your audience responds to. Because once you start pinning, and after a couple of months, because again, it's a search engine, it takes time. Don't expect to see, this is not something that you're going to see a result in a week or two. Like I said, this is not Instagram where if you don't get 100 likes in the first day, then what was the point? And nobody will see that post, you know, after a couple of months. Pinterest really has legs. It has reach. It needs time to grow and develop. So as you are pinning, you know, play with different ideas and watch your analytics and see what your audience responds to. And if your audience responds to something, then do more of that. Another common question I hear is about hashtags, because a couple of years ago, Pinterest tried to make hashtags happen. And basically, the Pinterest users were like, no, thank you. We don't like hashtags here. So it doesn't hurt if you use a hashtag in the description of your pin, but it also doesn't do you a lot of favors. So don't feel like you have to do that. The other common thing that people feel like they need to do, but is not necessary anymore, are board covers. So a couple of years ago, board covers were all the rage. I mean, they make your Pinterest look really pretty, but they don't really do anything for you in the long term. So don't feel like you have to spend all this time creating a perfect board cover for every board, especially if you have 30 or more boards. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of effort. Just skip that part and focus on the search engine part of Pinterest. Make sure that you are using really great search terms. Make sure that you are using the words and phrases that people are going to be searching for. And you might need to get out of your own head. You might need to spend some time searching on Pinterest as a user who would want to buy your things or who might want to learn more about what you do versus as a professional searching for it. Because each profession, each industry has specific terms, specific ways of describing things. And if you're in the middle of that industry, you might be using those terms that aren't used outside of that industry. So if you are using very industry specific terms, you're probably just going to attract other people in your industry. And that's, in most cases, not quite what you're going for. If you are reading any Pinterest blogs or anything like that, if you're looking at best practices or anything like that after you're done with this podcast, or maybe you've done it, you know, before this podcast, one of the things you may have seen is recommendations to pin 20, 30 times a day. And that can automatically shut people down. It's really a lot to ask for that. And it's also not necessary. I think consistency on Pinterest is far more important than pinning a ton of times a day. I would rather see you pin 2 or 3 times a day than 30 times a day. Now, you might also be thinking that 2 or 3 times a day is a lot, and that's nuts and way too much. And that's a valid response. It does sound like a lot. However, if you use tools like Tailwind, if you are repurposing the content that you already have, if you are making, you know, if you write a blog post and you make 5 pins that are different from each other and you pin one of those once a week, then that is 5 posts that are already taken care of. You can pin other content to mix in with your own until you have enough of your own content to pin that consistently. You can repin things to different boards. So it's not that you have to come up with 30 brand new pins every single week, or even 15 new pins every single week. If you are on the platform and you are using a scheduler, you know, Tailwind gives you suggestions of things to pin. That makes it pretty easy. You can go back through old blog posts that you have and make appropriate pins for them with the right sizes for the image and pin those. So it's really about making better use of the content that you already have. And again, if you don't have content yet, then I'm not 100% sure that being on Pinterest is your best option. If you want to eventually create your own content and you want to build up Pinterest in the meantime, then definitely do that. But don't feel like this is something that's going to take over your life. I mean, it definitely can, but it shouldn't. If you use Tailwind, which I like, I'm also looking at Later. There's several platforms out there that schedule for you and can make the process a lot easier. So it's not meant to take over your life. It's meant to augment your marketing. To wrap this up, Pinterest is a visual search engine. It is designed to be pretty. It is designed to function like a search engine, not social media. So this is a really good chance for you to get to know your keywords on Pinterest. It is great if you are already making content and you're looking for a new way to push it out and get it in front of new people. Pinterest is growing. It's one of the biggest search engines in the world. It's one of the most powerful. It kind of tends to fly under the radar, but men are on it, women are on it, health and beauty, all kinds of industries. And I think if you are interested in Pinterest, there is definitely a place on it for you. However, if you are already overwhelmed with your marketing, then maybe it's not the best option right now. Because the last thing I want you to do is finish this podcast and go dive headfirst into Pinterest and get frustrated and overwhelmed, because that sort of goes against everything I do in marketing. So don't do that. If you want to, you know, set up a consult with me to talk about Pinterest and how you can use it in your marketing, that's something I offer. You can just email me and we can set that up. If you want to explore Pinterest on your own, but you're not ready to pay for help yet, there are lots of free resources, actually, even on Pinterest. There's tons of how to use Pinterest on Pinterest, which is kind of fun and meta, but just make sure that whatever you're reading is written and or updated after February 2020 so that you do not spend your time doing something that is not best practices anymore. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and, of course, Pinterest at gmontoyapdx. If you liked this episode, please hit the subscribe button or leave a review. Tell your friends about it. That means a lot. And I'll see you next time.